Well, before we read Matthew 28 and the first 10 verses, let's pray again, please. Father, we thank you so much for your wonderful grace. Lord, we've gathered together today with grateful hearts because of your goodness. Lord, you could be so much so other than we know you to be, since you are God. And all things belong to you, and you over all things, and by you all things consist. And yet you are who you are. And who you are is such blessing and glory and grace to us. And we just rejoice in that. Lord, the way that you chose to create and then to bring about the redemption of your creation and fulfill your purposes, to have your family of love. Lord, we never would have thought of it that way. If you hadn't been the one who did it, we never would have believed it. But you did. And we do. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you continue to lift up Jesus among us today, as you have already begun to do and are doing, and draw us to him. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's read the first 10 verses of Matthew chapter 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." What a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. We have progressed through chapter 27, through the betrayal and arrest and trial, and then the crucifixion and the death of Christ, and the taking away of his body, and then the Pharisees' effort before Pilate and use of their guards to seal the tomb. Disciples are in disarray. They have all fled from Christ. And they know that he's died, that he's been taken down from the cross, and he's been buried. Probably the saddest, most dark and confusing Sabbath observance that any Jews ever observed or experienced. And especially his 11 disciples, who had banked everything on him, who had followed him for 3 years, who had left all, and now in confusion, in despair, in darkness, they have hidden away. But then verse 28 breaks in. It doesn't end there. God never intended for it to. The Sabbath had a purpose. It was to rest. It was to prepare for a new beginning. That's exactly what God fulfills. Now after the Sabbath, it says in verse 1, as the first day of the week began to dawn, very early in the morning, if you read the other gospel accounts, while it's still kind of twilight, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, that is Mary the mother of Jesus, and actually if you read the other accounts, there are some other women involved also. They head out to go to the tomb. Now it's very interesting to me that it's the first day of the week that Jesus decides, or that God, the Godhead, had decided for Christ to rise from the dead. As the first day of the week began to dawn, history has turned a corner. It's very interesting that on another first day, the first day, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 through 5, God created light. He said on the first day, let there be light. And the first day brought forth light. And light and darkness was divided. And on this day, light arose again. John chapter 1 tells us that in him, that is Jesus, verse 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Interesting that those two things happen on the first day of the week. The scripture is so full and pregnant with truths that when we begin to put them together and see them as the Holy Spirit enlightens us, it just makes more and more sense. It is more rich and full and wonderful. And then in this setting, it's really interesting that the Lord chooses to involve first the people that he chooses to involve first. It's the people whose love and devotion was beyond description, was beyond challenge, was beyond defeat. The depth of their devotion, that is Mary and these other women, the depth of devotion and the tenacity of their love for Christ, they remained through the crucifixion. Read the accounts. They're there. The disciples fled, but they are there. They remained through the crucifixion. They remained through the 6 hours that Christ hung on the cross. They were there when he breathed his last. They were there at his death. And they didn't leave then. They remained while Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came to retrieve his body and to take it down from the cross. And then they followed him. Their devotion, their love of Christ compelled them to follow Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and their group as they carried the body of Christ to Joseph's new tomb, which he had had hewn out of a rock. They followed and they watched the body of Christ wrapped in expensive linen cloth. There's another interesting thing. When Christ was born, he was born a babe to a poor family and laid in a manger and wrapped in strips of cloth. And here in his death, he is carried by a wealthy man and wrapped in expensive linen. But they followed. They remained. Their love compelled them. They were faithful. They, in love, they stayed and they observed while his body was wrapped and then laid in the tomb. And they only left when the stone had been rolled into place. And they could see him no more. It's only fitting that the first people to see the empty tomb, the first people to encounter the angel of the Lord, the first people to hear the glad news of the resurrection was these women. The first people commissioned by the angel and then by Christ himself with the good news for his disciple were these women. People who by their culture and their man's laws could not even give testimony in court. It's a good thing the Lord's not bound by man's laws. He didn't observe that law. He came. He sent the angel. He sent an earthquake. This was quite a time to be alive in Palestine, because just a couple days before there'd been an earthquake at Christ's death. And now on Sunday, following Friday, there's another earthquake. This angel descends and he rolls back the stone and he sits on it. His appearance is like lightning. We've all seen lightning. If you've ever seen it up close, you never forget it. It's an experience you don't want to repeat when it's close. And this angel, his appearance looks like lightning. What a way to describe it. And then it says, his clothes are as white as snow. Now, it's interesting that these same descriptions are the descriptions given of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's a little window, a little peek into heaven, where we will dwell for eternity. Purity. His clothes are as white as snow. It's a description used throughout the Bible for purity. We're reminded where we're going, all is pure. Wouldn't it be wonderful, wonderful through Christ to live in that place for eternity where I and you and everyone else there never, ever has an ill moment. Never, ever has evil intention. Never, ever succumbs to weakness. Where all is white as snow, inside and out. Complete purity. That's where this angel came from. And the guards, these guys that the Jewish religious leaders had stationed these Roman guards to protect the tomb so the Christians, the Christ followers couldn't come and steal his body away and then go around telling that he had been raised from the dead. That's what the Pharisees said might happen. And so they sealed it. They put their wax Roman seal on it and set their guards. But human guards aren't much when it comes to an angel who looks like lightning. They shook with fear and fell to the ground like dead men. And then the angel responds to the women. He says to them, he's responding. I don't think it's because they ask. I think it's because of their response, their shock, their awe, their maybe even anxiety at his presence. He responds to them, says he answers in verse 5, and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Heaven is paying attention. It's interesting that time and time again, when God's angels come and speak to those who are seeking him, to those who are looking for him, to those who love Christ, their words always are, "Do not be afraid. Fear not." And then he says, "I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." To me, that's so encouraging because it makes me understand that heaven is aware. Heaven is aware. They know. He knows our heart. He knows what we seek. He knows what we need. He says, "I know you seek Christ who is Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen." He is not here. He is risen. He's alive. That hopeless feeling that you had, that helplessness that you seem to face anytime someone dies, that fear, that anxiety, that seeming paralysis that death can bring on, done. Finished. It's over. Because he is not here. He is risen. And then he tells them, don't just take my word for it. He didn't say that, but that's what he implies. Don't just take my word for it. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. They knew exactly where he had lay, where his body had been, because they had remained and watched while he was laid there. Come and see the place where the Lord laid, and go quickly and tell his disciples. Come and see. Go and tell. That's the commission of the Lord for every one of us. Come and see. Experience Christ for yourself. You don't have to go on someone else's word. You don't even have to go on an angel's word. You don't have to just believe what I tell you. Experience Christ yourself. Come to Jesus yourself and put your faith in him. Trust in him. Experience him yourself. And you will go quickly. You will have something to tell. Just as they did. Go and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. The angel says, I have fulfilled my commission. I've told you. So they went out from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Now I want to point out just a second here the contrast. These women have come to the tomb because they want to visit the tomb again, to see the tomb again where Christ was laid. Their heart is a heart of love and devotion and trust in Him. And they are filled with awe and great joy. And yet the guards, who did not know Him, who did not trust Him, who did not love Him, were overcome with fear. They shook. They were so afraid, they literally shook and fell like dead men. That will always be the difference. There will always stand that difference between those who know Him, love Him, believe Him, and those who don't. But the angel told them to go and tell His disciples. So they ran to bring His disciples' word quickly, full of awe and great joy. And because they believed, because they believed, they acted. And in their acting, their obeying, going quickly, Christ meets them. You want to experience Christ in your life, you want to encounter Him, then follow Him. Do what He says. Act when His Spirit prompts you. You'll find that you meet Him, that He'll meet you there. Jesus met them saying, rejoice. That's our word for today. That's the word for Easter. That's the word for Christians. Rejoice. That's why Paul says it over and again in his letters. Rejoice. Again, I say to you, rejoice. Even as our call to worship this morning from the Psalm. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We live in a world where there's a great vacancy of joy. A lot of people's lives are in fear and anxiety and upset and hopelessness. For those who know Christ, for those who know Christ rose again, the tomb is empty. There is rejoicing. This is not all there is. This is not the way it's going to stay. No matter how dead it looks, He, on the first day, brings light and life and gives to us rejoicing. When they saw Him, they came and held Him by the feet. You can't hold a ghost or a phantom by the feet. He was alive. In His physical body that had been crucified. And in that body He is today. Right now, still, and forever will be. Immortal, but physical. Beyond our definition and understanding, body. And that's exactly what He's going to do with yours and mine. Yours and mine. You may as well like that person looking back at you in the mirror. Because that person, if you are in Christ, is going to live forever. Changed, yes. Transformed, yes. But you, still in Christ. They held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Could you do anything less? Could you do anything less? With your life, for the one who gave all that He gave for you and then walked out of the grave. Of course, we will worship them. Worship Him. And then He says to them again, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. In this day, there's probably no stronger word for you and I as Christians and for Christians around the world. Do not be afraid. Whatever it looks like, whatever's going on, How desperate it may seem, however desperate it may seem, Jesus says, do not be afraid. Why? Because you may have fallen. You may think that you are so guilty and have so, you know, messed up or whatever, or people around the world have. Jesus says, not what the angel said, not what it says they went to do, tell the disciples. Jesus says, go tell my brethren. You mean those guys that split? You mean that fellow that denied you three times with swearing? Yeah. That's the magnitude of the power of his death, burial, and resurrection. Utter, complete forgiveness and restoration of relationship. Better than ever it was with him. Go tell my brethren. He doesn't call them disciples. He calls them his brethren. Go tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And there they will see me. And you can read the other accounts, and you can read about how all of that 40 days of encounters with Christ went from Jerusalem to Galilee, all the way up to the ascension when Christ ascended back into heaven. But his promise doesn't change. His command doesn't change. Do not be afraid. That's his first admonition. And then it's go and tell. That's what we're doing this morning, telling one another. And that's what we'll do when we have opportunity, is to tell others. He is risen. He's not there in the tomb. He's risen. And his life, his light will bring life into your life, into your relationships, into your marriage, into your home, into your body, into your finances, into your relationships. His light changes everything. It drives darkness out. And because of that, we, like the women in the story, worship him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus rose from the grave, and that by your mercy and grace and power, all who trust in him have risen with him. And thank you that in him is new life for us, new life for our families, new life for every part of our existence. And we thank you for that. And it's that, your resurrection, that we celebrate today, this Easter. And in all that we do, Lord, we pray you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. It's such a pleasure and blessing to see all of you. We love you. God loves you. And prove that not just by the cross, but through the resurrection.